Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
There are tens of millions of Christians who will not be silent, who will stand with the state of Israel today. That's the lesson of history, that those who stand with Israel will be remembered through all time. Those who are against Israel, written off to history. When we are united, all of those who care, those who love Israel, stand together, there is no one that can challenge us.
Well, that's Malcolm Hanline. He's CEO of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, addressing Christians United for Israel Conference, which just ended yesterday in Washington, D.C. Christian Zionism is the, well, it's not only the term of politics, but also the term of theology for what is so popular among Americans. Think about it. It is the, I think it's fair to say, one of those third rail issues for any major league American politician. You could probably have differing views on Israel, but if you get above the state level, you are going to have to support Israel, at least voice some support for Israel politically, if not theologically, in order to operate in American politics. Why? I mean, I'm not trying to sound anti-Israel here. They may be a great ally. I don't know. I don't know enough about geopolitics, but why? Why is the pro-Israel stance pretty much the only stance tolerated in American politics? Even those who believe in a two-state solution or in supporting the Palestinians are not against Israel politically, for the most part. We're going to talk about Christian Zionism. Aaron Wolf will be our guest. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's July the 23rd. Welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later in the hour, we'll talk to Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about various subjects relating to religion in the news. Megachurches, or called MIC churches, turning into MIC denominations. And we'll talk about the battles in the Episcopal Church USA and the United Methodist Church concerning homosexuality, in particular, homosexual ordination. Also, some rapprochement of an ecumenical nature between a very new church body, that is the new Anglican Church in North America, and one that at least has historical roots, very, very old, the Orthodox Church in America. All those things with Terry Mattingly a little bit later. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Aaron Wolf is associate editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture published in Rockford, Illinois. Aaron, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Sir, it is good to be back.
Well, I'm wondering, given your past, you might have to explain a bit of it, whether or not you might have been one in the past to attend a Americans United for Israel conference and be cheering on as one of the major leaders of political Judaism in the United States talked about Christian support for Israel.
Well, that is a mouthful. Now, you've aired all my dirty laundry and told about my dark secret there. Well, yes, I think it is true that the way I was brought up and the church I attended as a child, I would have been on that side because I was a fundamentalist Baptist a long time ago, and we were dispensationalists. We had this theological commitment to a particular reading of Scripture that claimed that if you believe the Bible is true, literally true, then you're going to take God at his word, and you're going to accept that his promises to the Jewish people in the Old Testament are still valid, and that this translates into support for the modern state of Israel.
So what's wrong with that interpretation of Scripture?
Well, it's that is a a complex question to answer, because you have to talk some about what do we mean when we say support for the Jewish people versus support for the modern state of Israel. You have to talk about sort of the history of where this idea comes from in the church. But I think the most important thing when we say what's wrong with it is that it leads us away from seeing Christ and his saving work as the center of all Scripture, and not just the New Testament, and not just as some kind of plan B when the Jewish people rejected him as their Messiah, as their Savior, but rather the church has taught for centuries, for millennia, with more or less a unanimous voice, that these promises made to Israel really had their ultimate and spiritual fulfillment in Christ, and that we as believers are the children of Abraham, as St. Paul teaches in Galatians. So to embrace this turning back to the Jewish people as sort of a race and as a nation state, a geopolitical entity, and see that as at least one focal point of biblical prophecy today is sort of to make the same mistake that the Galatians made when St. Paul, you know, uses this word bewitched, you know, who has bewitched you so that you would turn back to the old law now that Christ has come. And so really the silver bullet that kind of blows this kind of thinking away is that teaching of St. Paul, especially in Galatians, where he talks about how those of us who are of faith are the sons of Abraham, and that is the way we are to understand those prophecies of the Old Testament.
So, how would you define Christian Zionism?
Well, I was doing a little reading today, and I found a definition on from one of this Christian Zionist groups, and in essence, and it's interesting because this tells you a little something about how this group is evolving, because what they say is that a Christian Zionist, or biblical Zionist, as they also like this term now, is simply a Christian who believes that that the Jewish people have a right to their homeland of Israel. And they base this now, and this is kind of a twist here, or a new emphasis among them, not on eschatology so much, not on end times prophecies, but on a reading of Genesis. And in other words, they're kind of downplaying the idea that comes out of what we talked about as dispensationalism, this way of viewing the end times that is, you know, 150 years old or so, that puts Israel at the center. They've shied away from that now, and they're just going to Genesis 12, where Abraham is told by God, "I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." That's the emphasis, although they then turn around and say that, most Christian Zionists would agree that Israel's reemergence on the world scene in fulfillment of God's promises to her indicate that other biblically predicted events will follow. So they can't even really get out of the gate without adding, we still do sort of see this as a fulfillment of end times prophecy.
Okay, I got two questions. We heard early in our conversation here some rather enthusiastic reception of the Christian Zionist support for the nation state of Israel from American Jewish leaders. Are the Jewish Zionists, to distinguish from Christian Zionists, are they fully aware of the background theology that is informing Christian support for Israel?
I think most of them are. Certainly the leadership is. And so, you know, on one hand, we got to say that when it comes to Israeli Jews, we're not talking about a nation of people who are, you know, Orthodox and in terms of Judaism and very seriously committed to a very conservative kind of Judaism, very secular country or nation today. But in terms of those who are Zionists and in the political realm, they are aware of the underlying theology of Christian Zionism, so much so that this is discussed. I mean, this is a point of debate as to, you know, how, to what extent do we allow these people to proselytize among us or to express their theological reasoning as to why they want us in this particular land. And the Christian Zionists, talking about John Hagee and the like, have been more than happy to assure them that they're not going to speak overtly about their faith, that they aren't going to attempt to proselytize them. Now, this itself is kind of a point of contention among some Christian Zionists, because a criticism can come in then and say, well, okay, do you folks not believe then that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation? And most Christian Zionists would say, well, yes, he is. But there are some, like Hagee, who've sort of toyed with this idea that somehow faithful Jews get in despite not exactly becoming Christian.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine about Christian Zionism. Our call-in number on this Thursday afternoon, July the 23rd, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
In God's country, set us crooked crosses. In God's country.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Concordia Publishing House has a new devotional for men titled Blessed is the Man, A Man's Journey Through the Psalms. It's a great resource for individual and group Bible study. Browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or purchase Blessed is the Man by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Blessed is the Man, A Man's Journey Through the Psalms, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July.
Getting the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in its mission or advertising budget. Our website, issuesetc.org. Click Promote. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org, I've got a little project for you. It'll barely take you any time at all. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Promote. What you're going to find there is the embed code for a new Issues Etc. YouTube video. We want everyone to see this, and we want more people to know about issues, et cetera. If you're a regular listener and you find that embed code, I would like you to send that to 10 of your friends. Try and pick out 10 friends that may not listen to issues, et cetera. When you do, send that embed code, the YouTube video, to 10 of your friends. Also send us an email telling us that you did. talkback@issuesetc.org. And what we'll do is register your name for a drawing on the 28th of August, next month, the 28th of August, that Friday. We're going to draw from the list of all the people who've done this for us. And the winner will get a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. So go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote, find the embed code for that YouTube video, send it to 10 of your friends via email, email us to talkback@issuesetc.org, and you're registered to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. We're talking about Christian Zionism. Aaron Wolf is our guest of Chronicles Magazine. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Chris in Sterling Heights, Michigan is our guest. I'm sorry, on the phone. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I don't know if the guest is aware of this, but Arab Christians and religious Jews have been persecuted by the Israeli government, and it's been kept silent by the media, a lot of the media in the United States, because they don't want to put a black mark on Israel.
Thank you very much, Chris. Yep. Thank you for calling. Aaron, what do you know?
That is true, certainly. I mean, this is true of Lutherans, that, and I've written about this to some extent, that the Israeli government in the past has our own of churches in fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have been the recipients of terrorism from Israeli Defense Force IDF troops coming in and mowing down compounds and destroying a newly built church facility, and this was in Bethlehem. This does happen, and this kind of goes to the political problem with Christian Zionism, because once you begin with this idea that God in his word has commanded me to take a particular view of something in the realm of geopolitics, whether we're talking about crusades or anything else, then your interpretation of the events in the news is going to be a little jaundiced. You're going to sort of look at things not very objectively, and so this happens when it comes to the way we read the news in America about what's going on in Israel. We hear about suicide bombers, and we hear about acts of terrorism and Hamas, and of course, all these things are horrible. And but yet we don't hear about sort of organized military actions on the part of the Israelis that sometimes precipitate those responses from the Islamic world. And this is something where, you know, if you're going to, good luck trying to pick a side objectively, because whenever you see one event in the news, well, there's something that precipitated that and something that precipitated that. So none of that matters, though, if you have a religious or theological commitment to what the state of Israel is doing. And in fact, the theological commitment of Christian Zionists go beyond even what the arch-conservative Benjamin Netanyahu is saying at the moment, where he's willing to accept some kind of two-state solution to the problem. Christian Zionists must ultimately reject that, because all the land that Abraham could see, north, south, east, and west, was to be his, or belonged to his seed, and that means that you can't have a Palestinian state in their interpretation in what is now Israel.
What I wonder about is whether or not Christian Zionists in the United States, be they of the political or theological stripe, but especially of the theological stripe, whether or not they have thoroughly thought through the implications of the theology that they seem to accept implicitly, that drives so much of their, I would say, almost
Well, it's certainly inconsistent, toleration of things that are done by Israel as an ally, but also as they see the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Do you think they've actually thought it through?
You know, I don't know. I think they might have thought through their theological presuppositions very well. I think that many of them know those inside and out and can rattle off a list of scriptural quotations, chiefly from the Old Testament, about God's promises to Israel or to the seed of Abraham, we might say. But in terms of just addressing what they call replacement theology, in other words, what the church has believed apart from dispensationalism and the Christian Zionism that grew out of that in this past century, what the church believed before that is dismissed sort of out of hand as replacement theology, where God replaced the people of Israel with the church, and yet this is kind of identified sort of blithely with liberalism, because it's saying, you know, this is this type of theology, this replacement theology, doesn't take Scripture seriously. And I think that goes back to your first question about how I, you know, what I used to believe. I think that I would have looked at anyone who thought that Israel was not to be protected at all costs by the United States, and thought, well, that's just somebody who doesn't believe his Bible. But there's really a lot more to what Scripture has to say about that, and that's, I guess, what I want to tell folks out there who might, you know, be hearing this for the first time and thinking that, was this guy some kind of liberal? Well, no, there's a way to understand Scripture with the rest of the church throughout the centuries and see that there's something greater going on in those promises to Abraham, that the plan of Christ coming into the world was not sort of something aimed just at the Jewish people as some sort of geopolitical Messiah, but that all of Scripture is pointing to this one fulfillment in Christ, and that when Scripture said, when St. Paul says there's no Jew nor Greek in Christ, well, that he's talking about the elimination of any barrier that people might see to the gospel. We all are heirs to that promise to Abraham through faith.
Finally, then, how did you come to the conclusion that the Israel of the Old Testament and the Israel of Bible prophecy isn't the nation state of Israel founded in 1948?
Well, you know, it's coming to the Reformation, really, and studying in graduate school church history and studying, reading the way that Luther and others interpreted these same passages, especially reading the Galatians commentary, the great Galatians commentary of Luther, and starting just to, you know, see that Christ Jesus really is the center of all Scripture, and that what these other things do is they sidetrack us. They get us into looking for validation of the truth of the Bible in world events. And sometimes those world events are going to, and in fact, anything that we can observe in this world can often contradict what Scripture teaches us. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by His Word. And when you begin to hear that Word and hear Christ, listen for Christ, then suddenly things begin to appear in a new light. And I think that's just what happened, and it's by the grace of God.
Folks, we'll post some resources on Christian Zionism at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the On Demand page when you find those resources. Our guest, Aaron Wolf, is Associate Editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture published in Rockford, Illinois. Aaron, it's great to have you back on. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Pastor.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Terry Mattingly, author of the book Pop Goes Religion, founder of GetReligion.org, and author of the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. We'll be talking with Terry about the battles in the Episcopal Church USA and the United Methodist Church. Battles over a similar subject, that is homosexuality, one of those battles is taking a different shape than the other. Of course, the Episcopal Church USA, it's not a battle anymore. It is simply a surrender to the cultural norms regarding homosexuality. In the United Methodist Church, things are a little different than that, although there's an awful lot of capitulation going on nonetheless. We'll also talk about some ecumenical dialogue between a very old church, the Orthodox Church in America, if it counts its roots back to the old world, and a very new church, the newly formed Anglican Church in North America. And we'll discuss what one author has called McChurches. Terry says they're on the way to becoming McDenominations. When we come back, we'll talk with Terry Mattingly. Our call-in number for the next half hour of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE. Or Talk Back at Issues, etc.org. It's Thursday afternoon, July the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is there a link between abortion and premature births?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Statistics indicate that the premature birth rate amongst Americans has increased significantly during the last 25 years, particularly with African Americans. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons sought to identify the cause of this disturbing trend and recently released their findings. One of the primary culprits, the published report said, was abortion. The report showed that women who have had abortions are much more likely to give birth prematurely. And because black women have the highest percentage of abortions, they sadly also have the highest percentage of premature births.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.